With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. A case cloaked in secrecy is pitting open records against privacy. Former Attorney General Marty Jackley represents a person identified as, quote, an implicated individual, end quote, who wants a search warrant to remain sealed. On the other side are lawyers representing ProPublica and the Argus Leader. They say the search warrant is a public document. Both sides agreed to keep the file sealed as the appeal goes forward, but oral arguments were open to the public and live-streamed today at the Capitol in Pierre. Chief Justice Stephen Jensen cautioned the lawyers to refrain from naming or otherwise identifying the, quote, implicated individual, end quote. Victoria Wicks has more on this story.
This case appeals a decision by Second Circuit Judge James A. Power, who initially ruled that the search warrant at issue should be sealed, but then he changed his mind. Marty Jackley argues that the judge had it right the first time.
You have before you an uncharged individual that's never been arrested. There's never been a complaint filed, an information, or an indictment.
Jackley says the state authorities who applied for the search warrant referred to the individual as a defendant in a criminal case, which is not accurate. He notes that the investigation at the heart of the warrant has never been officially terminated.
As this court is well aware, in trial courts across the state, search warrant orders to seal are routinely granted. It happened in this case.
Jackley says state law gives judges the authority to manage their own records. Jeff Beck, arguing for ProPublica, says the court can keep certain information out of public view, such as Social Security numbers and the names of minors and rape victims, but doing so doesn't require sealing an entire record. And he says in this case, the request to seal does not come from a government entity, but from a private individual.
This is a citizen saying, I want my name removed from it because it's embarrassing.
Beck says granting that request would open floodgates.
Every criminal defendant is going to want to seal all these records for anything that they think is embarrassing.
The attorney for the Argus Leader is John Arneson. He tells justices that state law is specific when it comes to open records.
So the point is, the statute sits there, raw, open, clear, plain. And it says these are things that are going to be open to public inspection.
Arneson says the case isn't about redaction. It's about the people's right to know what the government is doing, and state law clearly supports that right. The Supreme Court will deliberate and issue an opinion at a later date. For South Dakota Public Broadcasting, I'm Victoria Wicks, reporting from Pierre.
The Department of Health reports 785 new coronavirus cases in South Dakota. This report includes numbers from over the weekend. There are no new deaths. The state's death toll stands at 2,057. Active cases are at their highest since January. There are 3,114 active COVID cases in the state, up 20% from Monday. There are 141 people hospitalized. 44 of South Dakota's 66 counties have high community spread. That means they have a 10% or greater positivity rate on tests. The Food and Drug Administration is formally approving the Pfizer COVID-19 vaccine for people 16 and older. The approval comes after an earlier emergency authorization. Meanwhile, South Dakota's vaccination rate has slowed significantly. Nearly 61% of South Dakotans 12 and older have received at least one dose of a vaccine. Just shy of 56% of state residents 12 and older now have the full vaccine series. South Dakota House lawmakers are trying to pressure Governor Kristi Noem to call a special session to pass a ban on employers requiring COVID-19 vaccinations, even as virus cases climb. Several Republicans in the House of Representatives have circulated drafts of bills that would stop employers from mandating vaccinations against the virus. They are trying to pressure Noem to call a special session for them to approve the bills. But she's resisted those calls, saying there is not widespread support for a special session. Meanwhile, cases of the virus have resurged to their highest levels since February. Officials say South Dakota is facing a shortage of nurses at a time when they are needed most. South Dakota Newswatch reports that stress, long hours, and fear of infection during the COVID-19 pandemic have caused more nurses than usual to leave the field, move to other states, or retire early. From 2015 to 2016, about 1,700 registered nurses left South Dakota. Last year, more than 2,500 nurses dropped out of the state workforce. The state's higher education system has not produced enough nursing graduates to keep up with demand, and educators are scrambling to find ways to lure more students. A European multinational corporation plans to purchase Sioux Falls-based Raven Industries. CNH Industrial paid $2.1 billion to add Raven to its lineup of agricultural brands that includes New Holland and Steyr. The CEO of Raven Industries is Dan Rickus. He says CNH plans to turn Sioux Falls into its headquarters for precision agriculture technology. Rickus says CNH leaders tell him it's big news for Sioux Falls.
He said, "We look at Sioux Falls as the West Coast to the Midwest, and we intend to double or triple our technology staff here, and this will become the entire hub for technology for their precision ag efforts."
Raven Industries is known for its driverless, remote-operated agricultural equipment. The company also focuses on stratospheric technology and high-tech liners and barriers for environmental projects. Rickus says CNH will probably sell those other two branches. He says he'll do everything he can to convince CNH to keep those workers in Sioux Falls. Some members of Congress want protections put in place to address ongoing intergenerational trauma as more information comes to light about the troubled history of indigenous boarding schools in the United States. A group of 21 Democrats sent a letter last week to the Indian Health Service. They're asking that culturally appropriate support services be put in place, such as a special hotline and mental and spiritual programs. The federal agency said Monday it's reviewing the request and discussing what steps to take next. Advocacy groups say additional trauma resources for Indigenous communities are more urgent than ever. State regulators are acting on lessons learned from a failed natural gas project. They're requiring a higher bond from a company that wants to reuse the wells. SDPB's Seth Tupper reports.
A Wyoming company called Highwire Energy Partners wants to use 19 orphaned natural gas wells. The wells are in the northwest corner of the state near Buffalo. The company has to post a bond. The state can use the bond money if something goes wrong with the wells and the company is not financially able to plug them. A new state law says the minimum bond is $100,000, but the company is agreeing to post a $190,000 bond if it uses all 19 wells. Mike Lees is the administrator of the state's minerals and mining program. He says the state negotiated the amount with the company.
Well, this is voluntary on their behalf. This is above and beyond the normal $100,000 blanket bond.
The 19 wells are part of a broader 40-well project. A Texas company went broke not long after drilling the wells 15 years ago. State laws at the time only required $30,000 in bonds. That was not enough to plug the wells, so the state used taxpayer money. Lees says the state recently plugged more than half of the wells.
Plugging the 21 wells and reclaiming the compressor site cost the state approximately $301,000.
The plugging stopped when Highwire Energy Partners expressed interest in the remaining 19 wells. The company views the natural gas as a cheap power source for an unusual project. The gas will fire generators hooked to shacks full of computers. The computers will run 24 hours a day, solving complex numerical problems that bring new bitcoins into existence. Bitcoin is one of several digital currencies known as cryptocurrencies. I'm SDPB's Seth Tupper.
The Sanford Underground Research Facility in Lead has a new building named for U.S. Senator Mike Rounds. The M. Michael Rounds Operations Center is a 26,000-square-foot building. It's a hub for operations and engineering activities. The center includes a maintenance shop, warehouse, and office spaces. State government built the center for nearly $7 million. Rounds helped lead the effort to create the underground lab when he was governor in the early 2000s. The lab is in the former home state gold mine. With SDPB News, I'm Megan Feary. And that is your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Twitter at SDPB News and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. And as always, thank you for listening.